it's interesting, isn't it, how quickly we can fall into groups or divisions. Most of it isn't very deep-seated or long-lasting. But take, for example, the Rugby Six Nations. Most of the time, none of us think much about where our families have their roots, whether they're in England, Scotland, Ireland or Wales, until the Six Nations starts. And then it's very clear that Hilary Perrone is a Welsh supporter. I did tell her I was going to tease her at the beginning. Divisions are everywhere, aren't they? Men and women, young and old, rich and poor. Different political parties we support, different football teams we support. That's not such a problem here in Wickham, where we've only got one football team. But my son and his wife moved to Glasgow recently, and oh my goodness, the division between Celtic and Rangers is something else. And it's interesting that that's actually got its roots in Christian denominations, because the Celtic supporters traditionally Catholic, the Rangers supporters Protestant. And of course, we know in Northern Ireland that same divide between Catholics and Protestants still rumbles on despite all the endeavours to bring unity. And if we think further afield to South Africa, in the last few weeks, we've been remembering Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who has died. And he was given the Nobel Peace Prize back in 1984 for his non-violent campaign against apartheid, which we know eventually ended in the 1990s. And if we look around the world right now, there are many, many countries in civil war. I just found some little flags of some of the countries. Now, I found a list. This is going back to February 2021. But at that point, there were 22 countries they listed that are in the middle of civil war. Some that are on our news and many that aren't. Some of the ones that are on our news quite often, which you'll probably hear about, are Myanmar, Syria, Yemen, South Sudan, Philippines and Ukraine. But there are many others, as you can see on this list. There's something in us, isn't there, that is innately protective of all aspects of ourselves, our family, our culture, our beliefs. And obviously there's a key reason for this. It's because we want to protect and care for people that we love. But it's so easy for those instincts to get out of hand, for people to get so focused on their differences that they fail to see the things that unify them. And in this chapter today, in chapter 2 of Ephesians that we're looking at, Paul writes a good deal about unity. And he is speaking to this society where Jews and Gentiles have been very separate. And he's explaining to them that they're now one, they're united in Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, we are all members of God's household, of his family. But Paul uses quite strong language in that passage that Mike read so beautifully. He talks about sort of warring factions. He says he is our peace. He has made two groups one. He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create one new humanity out of two and to make peace. And in our world, there is so much emphasis on the individual, isn't there? Our individual needs. And what really struck me is how important that piece is, just as important today as it was in Paul's time, as it has been throughout history. And I was thinking about the Christian church, and you know that there are over 45,000 different Christian denominations. So that's people who still believe the same thing, the fundamental truth that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again for us, paying the price for our sins, so that nothing can stand in the way of our relationship with God. And many of those denominations use the same creed. They'll actually say the same thing on a Sunday morning when they stand up, or whenever they worship. It might not be a Sunday morning. But although we believe those things, we also differ in lots of ways. And I think just as Paul was urging the church in Ephesus to be united, those who are Jewish background, those who are Gentiles, so too, God would be wanting us to be united as Christians. We know that in a team, we all work best when people use their different skills and gifts and personalities. We might not always find it easy to work with people who are different from us, but the outcomes are so much better when we have that breadth. We need the big picture people, the visionaries, the creatives. And we need the details people who make things happen in practice, who put things into order and carry them out. We need those who focus on the task and ensure these things happen well, and those who focus on the people, ensuring that everybody's on board. And I know that when we do all those things well, then our projects are going to be successful, aren't they? And I love this reminder by Paul that we are all God's handiwork. We're uniquely created by God. We're made with those different gifts and skills. We are designer people created by the ultimate designer, God. Different but united in our faith, and we all bring something to God's table. And just as we're all different, so are churches, even within the same denomination, are different. So you know there are seven Church of England churches in High Wycombe, but we're not all the same, are we? We're all slightly different. But that's a good thing. We've got different strengths. We bring those different strengths into the way we show our faith and the way we worship. And one of the things I love about being here in Downley is the great relationship we have with other churches in Downley. So we have another ACTS meeting tomorrow, which is on Zoom. If anybody wants to join us, I can send you the code. But we meet with the leaders from the Pastor's Church, with Sunnybank, and we're also reconnecting with Grace Church as well. And I think we do so much more when we connect together, and it's been lovely, hasn't it? Like during lockdown, we did our Easter egg hunt, we do Downley Day, we do Christmas things together, we do that, the carol singing, which was great, the Easter service, sunrise service on the common, lots of things where we are all together, different churches, but showing a united front and showing God's love to those around us. And we're also going to be involved in Love Wycombe again this year. And that for me, that's really exciting. Instead of holding our services here, we are going to be all joining together as churches in the middle of Wycombe Town Centre. And you know, there are about 40 different churches that get involved in that. You wouldn't have thought in the Wycombe area there'd be so many churches, but 40 churches are on their books that they're connecting with. And this year, the Love Wycombe team have also suggested that in the weeks between Easter and Pentecost, as well as having that Love Wycombe event at the end of that time, we also, each church does some activity or event, puts it on for free for their community. Now, we can choose exactly what we do. We were discussing this at the PCC on Thursday. We've got a few ideas, but if any of you have got a great idea of something you think we could do, then please come and talk to myself or anybody on the PCC or leadership team. Just, we'd love to hear your ideas if you've got a good idea. And again, I think that's fantastic that all over Wycombe, different churches will be putting on at different times events that will show God's love to our town, across our town. And there's also going to be a prayer app where you can log in and pray for your street or another street in your area. And again, the hope is that every street in Wycombe will be prayed for during that time. And the reason is that we want to present a united front to our town. We want others around us to know the love of God and to tell the good news of the gospel by word, but also by deed. And in our gospel reading today, we were reminded that Jesus came into the world to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. We've all been set free by God's grace, his gift of Jesus given freely to us. At the beginning of this passage, we didn't read actually, Paul talks about grace and God's gift to us. And he's really keen to emphasize that this gift is for everyone. God sent Jesus into the world to save all mankind. He created us each unique and different from each other, but he loves us all equally. And he wants us to love others around us, no matter what their outlook is on life, whatever their views, whatever their behavior. That doesn't mean that we condone bad behavior, but it does mean we need to look at how we behave to others and how we can love them despite what they do. It's not easy, and sometimes it will involve a lot of conversations, seeking to understand others more, as we talked about the other day when we talked about, I looked at those pastoral principles. How do we get into other people's shoes? How do we try to understand different people's perspectives? But whenever we do show that kind of interest in others, we are expressing God's love for them. So the challenge for us today, I think, from this passage in Ephesians, is how we can live in greater unity with those around us, despite our differences, both on an individual level, but also on a church-wide level. So let's just take a moment of quiet now, just to think about any places where we are aware of a disunity or a difference, either for us as individuals or in our community. Let's just have a moment of quiet. And in the quiet, ask God to show you if there's anything that you can do to help bring unity. Father God, we thank you that you have made us part of your family, that you love each one of your children, you love every person that you have created. We pray that you would make us instruments of your peace, to show that love to others and to help build bridges wherever we can. We thank you for the example of Love Wickham, and we pray that will be a really good time to show a really united front as the Christian church and a Christian presence showing your love in this town. Amen.